Today's scripture verses are from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. This is the Lord's word. You may be seated.
I shouldn't let today go by without saying a few things about a few things. First, it's been a tremendous missions month. And so I want to say thank you to Sue and to the Evangelism Ministry team for once again planning wonderful opportunities for us in the month of June to reconnect with our missionaries and to learn more about them and from them. But also, most of you know that today is my final Sunday in the pulpit before my extended renewal leave, which is fancy Westkirk language for I'm going on a sabbatical. And this is a benefit that the senior pastor of the church earns in collecting weeks over a number of years to be lumped together and used all at once sometime between the next 5 to 7 years. And I've been here long enough now to receive my second extended renewal leave. These things have to be planned, and they have to be approved in advance according to the policy that the session approved many years ago. And so I'm thankful to all of you for your encouragement and for your support, as well as for the time that I get to spend kind of disconnecting from ministry routine and traveling and studying and spending time with family over the next couple of months. So I thank you for that. There's more on what I'll be doing in the new issue of The Shepherd that is just coming out. And so I also want to ask you all to plan to come if you can on Wednesday evening, July 17th. You'll have an opportunity to participate with me a little bit in my study of John Knox and Scottish Reformation history. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that. Maybe I'll even be here. We'll see. Third, our own people will be filling the pulpit in my absence. Pastor Paul, Pastor Brandon, of course, will be preaching as you would expect. Two of our other seminarians, Nathan Hyatt, Stiles Statlander, will be taking several of the Sundays that I'm not preaching, and I'm very excited about that for them and for you. Stiles is actually, we prayed for Wayne Larson and Redeemer Presbyterian this morning. PCA had their general assembly last week, and so Stiles is preaching at Redeemer this day, so that's wonderful for him. But I would ask that you give all four of them your attention and your encouragement. Session extended an offer to Nathan to take several Sundays this summer, and he's planning to preach through the book of Jonah. So I'm really excited about that. He began planning last fall. We met about it over Christmas break, and I know he's excited, and I'm thrilled to be able to hear what he brings to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures over the next several weeks. Stiles approached us and had some preaching requirements for his seminary classes to fulfill over the summer, so we are thrilled to be able to provide some pulpit time for both of them, and I know that you'll be pleased. Finally, I'd like to mention why I picked today's text. We're going to be in Psalm 118 today, and so let me tell you how these things go. There was one Sunday left to cover in my preaching calendar, so I needed a text that I thought could stand on its own Turns out this is probably a text better for a couple of Sundays. But earlier this spring, I was with Eunice Hoffmeyer over at Taylor House right before her death. Pastor Paul mentioned a number of folks in our church community who have died this past year, and Eunice is one of them. And she wanted to read Psalm 118 together. And we did that, and the family and I ended up selecting that psalm, this psalm, for the message at her funeral. It was important to Eunice in her fight against cancer. Many of us have fought earthly fights of various kinds. Our prayer time earlier today highlighting some of the current ones. And I liked this psalm, so I picked it for today. Now, funeral messages, as you know, are not very long, so I wanted to preach it again. And now that all sounds very much centered on me. But I also want you to know that it always seems that way. I select the passages and the books of the Bible that we preach through here, typically in an exposition. But the Holy Spirit, just like in our everyday lives, and even in our own salvation, ends up demonstrating that he is actually the one making the decisions. Psalm 118 is going to take us back a couple of months to right before the death and resurrection of Jesus that we celebrated in April. But after church today, someone, one of you, is going to come up to me and tell you that this passage meant the world to you today. And I will be reminded that the Holy Spirit is alive and he's active in our lives. He's active in the world, and that God is sovereign and that he will accomplish what he wills to accomplish in our lives, just as he did for Eunice in the weeks leading up to her death, just as he did for me in bringing me to saving faith, and you, even though I felt like it was my choice all along. So let's pray, and let's see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us all today. Our Lord and our God, I recently heard a preacher pray to you that anytime we are reading and hearing your word, we are on holy ground. And that is a true statement and a comfort to me today. So thank you for being present with us, both through your Spirit, but also through your revealed and inspired word. That word especially moves us when we are contemplating the things that surround Jesus' death and on our behalf and the trials that we face in this life. So we ask then that you would open our eyes and behold wonderful things in this psalm, that we might receive them and understand them and believe them all for Christ's sake. We pray this in his name. Amen. And in typical Michael Mudloff fashion, I've overdone it trying to get myself ready to leave, and I got a summer cold this week. So everybody, don't pay attention. That'll come across great on the radio program. Now, I realize that many of you did not know Eunice Hoffmeyer. She lived across the street from Ron and Darlene Reard, and some of you called on her, but she never became a member here, actually. She had cancer when she arrived. As a result, most of her years as a part of our community were homebound years. But she and I had some commonalities. The greatest affinity Eunice and I shared was a love of God's Word, the Bible. She was especially fond of the Old Testament and finding discovery and joy in how it continuously points us to Jesus Christ and the gospel in the New Testament. And we love that here at Westkirk. Psalm 118 is one of those places, and she had it all painstakingly marked up in her Bible, which I brought with me into the pulpit today. Now, just like with all of you, the truth of the matter is that I had no idea how much Eunice knew about Psalm 118. I knew she loved Psalm 118. I knew it was important to her in her cancer journey. We didn't talk about the history of the psalm, just that it had been an important passage for her. And as we continue reading through it, I think you'll hear why. But given that Eunice died around Easter time, I thought it was really important to note that this psalm, along with a handful of psalms before it, were likely the last psalms sung by Jesus before his death. And the reason for that is because Luke records in his gospel that on the night of the Last Supper, the Passover, Jesus and the disciples sang together after the meal. And these psalms, from Psalm 113 through this one, Psalm 118, were the songs of thanksgiving that were most associated with the story of Israel's exodus out of Egypt and the celebration of the Passover. These would have been the songs that they sung. And that ought to give us pause for a moment. Because we are hearing the words, we are looking at the words, we're contemplating the very words that your Savior, Jesus Christ, sang in between the Last Supper and right before heading into the Garden of Gethsemane to be betrayed, arrested, abused, tortured, and crucified. These are among those words. Now, these were the traditional words, but they are not the words of Scripture that were finally on his heart and mind. And I have no doubt that not only was Jesus encouraged by these words, he understood their significance for his moment. This is Jesus' song of redemption for you. And hopefully I can get through it. The psalm begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And we can rightfully ask, well, why should we give thanks to the Lord? And the psalmist tells us, for he is good. Now, this is no small thing because there are many people today who do not believe that the Lord is good, if they believe in him at all. But the goodness of God is the reason the writer here encourages us to worship and to praise God, and to give thanks to him in the first place. But notice that it is not a generic goodness that he celebrates. He goes on in verse 1 to add, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Now, this is the big deal of the entire psalm right here. And so I'm going to focus on this morning. This is where it ends also. So everything in between verse 1 and verse 29 is about this thing. This amazing thing. The Hebrew word, it's a word that many of you have heard. It's a familiar word. The Hebrew word hesed is a famously difficult word to translate. And it's used prominently and significantly throughout the Old Testament through the Hebrew Scriptures. John Johnson gave the devotional at our most recent meeting of session, and he spoke about this Hebrew word. It's been translated as covenant love, as loyal love, loving kindness, and as the translation that John Donaldson read earlier has it, steadfast love. Eunice's New King James Version renders it simply as mercy. I've always kind of referred to it as loving kindness, but admittedly, that's not the best translation of this word. One of my Hebrew professors in seminary, Dennis McGarry, great guy, he took us through the book of Ruth, where this covenant love is prominently displayed. And together in this class, as we made our way through, we referred to the hesed of God as loving kindness. So that's a translation that was coined first by Miles Coverdale. Now that may be a name that sounds a little bit familiar. Miles Coverdale is the Englishman who first completed an entire translation of the whole Bible in English. And so loving kindness kind of stuck with me. But the best translation I have ever heard for this word is from the 20th century British professor of Old Testament who called it this: a love that will not let you go. A love that will not let you go. Now that makes it especially meaningful for someone like Eunice Hoffmeyer, who is dying of cancer, doesn't it? And I'll bet it is especially important for some of you today, the knowledge that having also responded to the work of the Holy Spirit by professing your faith in Jesus Christ alone, turning from your sin and repentance, that no matter what you are going through today, God loves you with a love that will not let you go. Now, the psalmist is writing of God's elect. He's writing of Israel, and the promise God made to Israel through Abraham to remain faithful in his love no matter what. A love that God, the covenant keeper, fulfilled, but that Abraham and truly all of Israel could not fulfill. So today, for the follower of Jesus Christ, we see this psalm point us to the gospel. And we realize that God the Son, Jesus Christ, likewise came to die for our sins on the cross in order that the elect, now the church, might live. Despite the fact that Christians, like our spiritual father Abraham, cannot keep covenant either. We are imperfect, we sin. We struggle with our pride, we struggle with our selfishness, our desire to have our own way, to advance our own agendas, to have all that the world offers us, while at the same time claiming not to be of the world, but only passing through. Well, folks, as believers in God through Jesus Christ, we truly are only passing through. But do you know where you are going from here? Your salvation is not dependent upon you living up to the covenant God made with you through Jesus Christ in a perfect, sinless life, following rules, showing up at church, etc. But instead, your faith is made true on the basis of Jesus living a perfect, sinless life instead. And paying for your sin and the sin of all who believe, Jesus in his perfection sacrificed himself in your place. Why? Because that promise, that covenant God made with you and all who believe, is a promise that says, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what you will do, I have chosen you as my own. I have sent my son to die in your place because I love you, and I will not let you go. You are mine. Now, we don't have to read very far in Genesis to know that Abraham didn't keep his part of that covenant. Moses didn't either. David certainly didn't. We saw that making our way through 2 Samuel recently. I don't, and neither do you. But to those who hear God's call, to those who respond to it, who respond by turning to Christ in faith and turning away from their sin in repentance, this is salvation, and it has eternal consequences, due solely to this great covenant love of God that will not let you go. Not because of anything worthy in us, but because of the worthiness of Christ given to us in exchange. Now here's why this was not only such a big deal for us, but was such a big deal for Jesus. At the time of the Passover, leading up to his own death and resurrection, when he rode into Jerusalem on the day that we remember as Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, the crowds waved palms and they shouted. Now, you know what he shouted, right? Say it with me. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Words that are reflected in this psalm. But do you remember what those harassing him said on the cross? Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three in the Synoptic Gospels, record the crowds and the religious leaders mocking Jesus, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. This is really important because there's irony here. Jesus knew what Hosanna meant. Hosanna means save us. So as Ligon Duncan put it, he had been acknowledged as the one blessed of the Lord who had come to save, and now he was being mocked as the one who claimed to come to save, but could not save himself. Do you hear the irony there? Well, he could have saved himself. He was powerful enough to save himself, but he didn't. Do you know why he didn't call on a legion of angels to come save him? Because the reason he came was not to save himself, but to save you. Jesus came with a determined, steadfast love to save you. And if he had saved himself, he wouldn't have saved you. And that love was and is a love that would not let you go. And so, though the scoffers did not realize the depth of what they were saying when they mocked him, he saved others, let him save himself. They were speaking a profound truth. Jesus would not save himself because he was acting for you and me so that we could receive a steadfast love that is not conditioned by our faithfulness, by our righteousness, but by his faithfulness and righteousness. And in this way, both the justice of God in demanding a penalty for sin and the covenant love of God in his faithful redemption of the world both remained intact. All because the Son, as a reflection of the Father, loves you with a love that will not let you go. So let me read the rest of this psalm, and I would like to ask you now, though we have focused on the first four verses, that you would listen with ears now attuned to the thoughts of Jesus as he sang this song with his disciples, aware of the trial that was before him. Picking it up in verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful that not only did you come in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, but he came to be the sacrifice for our sin. And Lord, I really do believe that if we would truly trust that you are good and your steadfast love endures forever, even just a little bit of this truth, that it would change our lives. So Lord, in our belief, help our unbelief. May we evermore, day by day, grow to love, understand, and recognize the great significance of this, your steadfast love, this love that will not let us go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a wonderful God we have. It is our opportunity now to respond to the words that we've heard and to sing together, to sing God's praises. Number 584, It is Good to Sing Thy Praises. I ask you to rise if you're able in body or heart.
People of God, receive this benediction from Colossians chapter 3. Go forth, remembering who you are and to whom you belong. As God's own, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and patience, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, and crown all these things together with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Go in peace.